And he said to me, he said, I want my people to celebrate me. So the title of this sermon is Celebrate Him.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, you are great. You are so great. There is no other name. There is no other God. There is no comparison to the greatness of our Creator. And God, as we stand here and bask in your glory and your presence, Lord, as you've already spoken to us through song, you've already shown us who you are, Lord, I just ask now, Lord, as we dig into your word, that you would continue to speak, that you would speak in a mighty and a clear and a powerful voice, Lord, that you would be glorified, you would be exalted, and you would be lifted on high. Because we truly stand in awe of your presence, and we do confess that you are great and worthy and mighty and holy. So, Lord, have your way. This is your service, and we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get into these scriptures very shortly, I think that we have maybe sang each one of them in a song today. So when I'm preaching, you're like, oh, that was in that song. Oh, that was in, because they were. God has already spoke. I do want to invite all of our guests today and just let everyone know that I am the associate pastor, and I do have this week and two more weeks to preach, and then Pastor Jerry is coming back, and he will be up here preaching. And I was thinking about Pastor Jerry, and I had mentioned earlier, you know, that he wasn't going to be here, but God was still going to speak. And God, that's whose pulpit this is, that's whose house this is, it's God's. And I was thinking there was one other thing about Pastor Jerry that I'd forgotten to say. You know, I hadn't thought about it when he left, but when he returns in 3 weeks, there's a real good chance that the Steelers will be 0-3. So I just want you guys to pray for him. He's not here to talk about it, but I know that he really wants the Cowboys to win this year. It was just really laid on my heart. Dante will get over it. And be anointing all the Steeler fans after the service. Now, I was thinking about the football games and how excited we do get and how we celebrate when our team wins. And it tied in with the word that the Lord gave me, because it was last Sunday and he just simply spoke two words to me. And I'll tell you what those two words are. But first, let's read a couple scriptures. Exodus chapter 32. So what's happened at this time is Moses has gone up to get the Ten Commandments from the Lord, and the people are patiently just down there waiting and praying for him. So in Exodus 32, verse 1, it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and they said unto him, Get up, make us gods, that will go before us. For as for this guy Moses, that guy that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what happened for him. For all that we know, he took off and he's not coming back. I mean, what are we supposed to do?" So Aaron, being the great leader that he was, he said, okay. He said, "Break off all your golden earrings, which are in your ears, the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, bring them all to me." So all the people broke off the earrings, which were in their ears, and they brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and he fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it into a molten calf, and they said, "These be our gods. These be thy gods, O Israel, the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt." I don't remember the golden calf when they came out of Egypt, but that's who it was, right? That's who they were going to praise. And it says, when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Let's go over to Daniel, chapter 3. Children of Israel are enslaved in Babylon, and the king of Babylon In chapter 3, verse 1, with Nebuchadnezzar, the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then the king sent to gather the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, all the important people, all the leaders, all the rulers, the sheriffs, everyone came to the dedication of this image. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, all the leaders gathered together for the dedication, and they stood before the image that was put up. And then a herald cried aloud, and he says, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, any of these instruments, any kind of music, you fall down and you worship the golden image that the king has set up. And whoso doesn't fall down and worship, the same hour he will be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And then in verse 7 it says, "Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the instruments of music, that they all fell down and they worshiped the golden image that had been set up." It wasn't the calf, it was a completely different image. But let's just jump over a couple pages to chapter 6. And in verse 6, we have a new king, it's King Darius. But the presidents, the princes, they all assembled to the king and they said to him, "King Darius, live forever." And then all the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, they consulted together and they said, "Let's establish a royal statute and to make it a decree that whosoever will ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except for you, King Darius, that man will be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign it in writing that it be not changed." And in verse 9, the king signed the writing and the decree. So in Exodus, they have the calf. And then in chapter 3, they've got this great image. And here, it's you will only request the king. You will only celebrate me. And the two words that the Lord spoke to me last week were "celebrate me." So the title of this sermon is "Celebrate Him." As he just said, the Lord spoke to me and he said, just like all of these things, just like all of this stuff, evil is being celebrated right in front of our very faces constantly. It's being shoved in front of us. Evil, sin, the devil himself, that is who is being celebrated and not Almighty God. And he said to me, he said, "I want my people to celebrate me." So the title of this sermon is "Celebrate Him." We need to celebrate Him in all things. Exactly what we've been saying through the songs. Each part of our life. What part of our life can honor God? What part of our lives can celebrate God? All of it. Every single thing that we do, every word, every action, whether we eat, whether we drink, we do it unto the Lord. So God is calling for His church to stand up and celebrate Him in our lives, in our homes, in this church, in our workplaces, everywhere that we go, everything that we do, celebrate God. Because be assured that the world is celebrating evil. So I looked up the word "celebrate" and I thought, well, I want to make sure, you know, what we're supposed to do. And it says the definition is to keep, to observe, to commemorate, to notice, or to honor. That's how we celebrate Him. And it goes on and it says to praise. Praise is a way to celebrate. And that's who we should be praising and celebrating, is Almighty God. It says we praise. We say that someone or something is of great or importance. That is who He is and that is what He is. And the synonyms, the things that are the same as celebrate, are honor, laud, observe, perform, praise, proclaim, revere, and bless. This is what we should be doing with our lives to God. Everything should point to heaven, everything to Jesus, to God. Celebrate Him with your life. And one of the words there was perform. And I thought, it's what they're doing with praise and worship. They're performing before Almighty God, for Him, to Him, towards Him. And I want to look at someone else that performed before the Lord in 2 Samuel chapter 6. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we'll start in verse 11. What has happened is that the Israelites, they have not had the ark with them. It's been in someone's house, but they're ready to bring it in to the house of David. So in verse 11, it says, the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom. Seems right. So it was in his house. It was there 3 months. And guess what happened those 3 months? The Lord blessed him and all his household. So it was told to King David, the Lord's blessed his house and all that pertains to him because the ark of God. So David went and he brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. He was excited. He was happy. He was going to celebrate. And it says, and it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. They are celebrating God. And in verse 14, David danced before the Lord, and look at this, with all his might. He didn't just he danced with all his might. And it said David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark for the Lord with shouting. Right? They're celebrating him. They're celebrating God is with us. So they did it with shouting, with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city, Saul's daughter looked through the window, David's wife, and she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. Sometimes when we celebrate God, people are not going to like it. So that means we shouldn't do it, right? No! God forbid, right? So she despised him. So they brought in the ark of the Lord. They set it in the place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And then he dealt among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, because it was a celebration. To everyone he gave a cake of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house, to celebrate that they had brought the ark into the city. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. And she said, and read this in a sarcastic tone, but she said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. And look at his answer to her. He said, it was before the Lord. He didn't care who else was there. He didn't care who was watching. He was celebrating before Almighty God. It didn't make any difference. He said it was before the Lord. He's who chose me. Before your father, before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Israel, therefore will I play before the Lord. He was going to celebrate God no matter what anyone thought. He said, I was doing it before the Lord. That's how we should be. Celebrate God with everything that's in you and don't pay any attention to who's watching, because he's watching. Now, this is where it got really difficult for me, because I wanted to read a lot more scriptures. And I did a really good job, didn't I, Rick? I only gave Rick 97 scriptures. So we will start in Psalm 100. As we read these scriptures, as I read these scriptures, I thought of all the songs that we sing. I thought of all the times I've read these. And let them become alive to you today. When you read them, declare them. Make a decision that this is what you will do. These aren't just words that someone else... This is in us. This is what should be coming out of us. And as I read these, it was hard to get them down. But in Psalm 100... it's all about celebrating God. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Isn't that what we just did? We sang all those songs to Him. How great He was. How our life is in Him. How He's more precious than gold or anything. He says, know you that the Lord, He is God. It's He that made us. We're singing and celebrating the One that made us, that formed us. He said, it's not us. It's not ourselves. We didn't make us. He made us. It's not us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. It's never ending. It is forever. It is eternal. That's who we're celebrating. In the very next chapter, just verse 1, David says, I will. Not I might, not I could, not I will. Make it a declaration over your life. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto you, O Lord. I will sing. Decide it. Just do it. Do it. It's just that simple. He wants us to celebrate Him. Decide that you will and then do it. Psalm 117. I really, really did want to read more of these. Feel free to read the book of Psalms after you leave here. Psalm 117. It's just two verses. He says, oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Him constantly and always. Psalm 118, the very next chapter, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures briefly. Forever. It's never ending. Jump down to verse 21. Again, He says, I will praise You, for You have heard Me and art become My salvation. Has He become your salvation? Then praise Him, because He heard you. You asked Him to come into your life. You asked Him to come into your... You asked Him to forgive you, and He did. He is now your salvation. That is enough to celebrate with until we die. If He does nothing else, He saved you. That's everything. That's eternity. Praise Him. Verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech You, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech You, send now prosperity. He says, blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. We've blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. And he finishes, you are my God. I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. We should praise Him forever because His mercy endures forever. His salvation is forever. His love is forever. That is definitely worthy of a celebration. And our lives should show it. Psalm 150. It's the last psalm in the book. Not possibly the last one that I'll read, Rick. I don't want you to get confused. Psalm 150. And just, it's six verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Do you have breath? Then praise Almighty God. He is worthy of our praise. Yes, praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. He wants us to celebrate Him and praise Him. He is worthy. And you know, you always hear people say, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to offend God. If my praise to God offends you, then prepare to be offended. I will not offend God to please man. It can't happen. We have to praise God. We don't go out trying to offend people. I'm not saying that. But praise God and let the consequences come. Praise Him. And I want to talk about that. Psalm 118. I didn't read the whole thing earlier, and I'm still not going to. But that was where we read, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, right? But in verse 6, He says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Seriously. Nothing. What can man do to me? God is on my side. And He goes on and He said, the Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, or in our case, politicians, or the White House. It doesn't matter. We praise and trust God. It's better. Trust God. Matthew chapter 10. Let's go there, Rick. Rick knew. This is what Jesus says. We don't want to offend anyone, right? No, we don't want to offend God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus speaking. He said, whosoever therefore will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It's that simple. Confess Jesus and He will confess you. That's it. That's what it says. Confess Jesus always and He will confess you before His Father. I promise you on that day you will not be worried about who you offended unless you've offended Him. Confess Jesus. Celebrate Him. The Apostle Paul talked about it in Galatians 1. Paul talking to the church in Galatians, he said in verse 10, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's the great thing about me, no, and I only have 3 more weeks. I'm not trying to please any of you. You don't like it? Nah, I mean, it's tough. No, when I stand up here, I don't say, man, I hope everyone likes it. I say, I want God to be pleased with what I said. If you don't like it, I mean, again, put it in the prayer thing. Pray that Pastor Aaron preaches better. I'm not up here to please you. And that's how our lives have to be. We're to please God, not men. He went on in verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, it's not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul was taught directly from Christ Himself. He's not concerned with what people thought. It was clear. He got beat a lot. He got thrown into jail. But you know what? He only had one person in his audience that he was trying to please. And it was Jesus. And that's how we should live. 1 Thessalonians. Again, the Apostle Paul talks about this. Just a few pages over in chapter 2. And he tells the church there, he says, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. We were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. What an honor, right? He said, so even so we speak, it's not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. And he says, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. His goal was solely, and it should be ours, to please God, to preach God, to celebrate what He's done in our lives for us each and every day. Don't seek the glory of man. What can man do to you? Nothing. We've talked about it in all those songs. What was the first song we sang? My life is in you. Right? My life, our lives should be in Him if we've accepted Him. And we talked about it over and over. I've heard so many of these scriptures. Philippians 2, it'll tell you who we're celebrating. And we mentioned it earlier, Philippians 2 verse 9. Who are we celebrating? Who are we praising? Who are we worshiping? Who are we living for? I try to wait till I don't hear any pages turning, because sometimes I can't find the scriptures. You're welcome. It says, wherefore God has highly exalted Him, and He has given Him a name that is above every name. This is who we're celebrating, church, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the name above all names. You're celebrating the true King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be celebrated. He has all power and authority. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Right now, it is a choice. It won't always be. Every knee will bow before Him. We can do it now voluntarily because we know who He is and because He is our salvation. Acts 17:28. I said this last week. I didn't read the scripture, but I want to tell you that this was what gave me the most freedom, the most peace, the most joy, was this verse. The realization that this is true. In Him, we live. We move. We have our being. Is our life in Him? He created us. We cannot speak, move, do anything without Him. He gave us the ability. Our breath is from Him. It takes all the pressure off you. I'm in Him. I live in Him. I move in Him. My being is in Him. So I will celebrate Him always. Colossians chapter 1. If you're in Philippians, it's just a couple pages over. Again, the Apostle Paul. And just look at these verses. We'll start in verse 16. He says, by Him were all things created that are in heaven, earth, that are visible, that are invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. You were created by Him and for Him. Celebrate that. He made you. He's before all things. And by Him, all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. He was before. It says in verse 19, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. All of it. By Him, for Him, through Him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about our Heavenly Father. It's not about us. At all. It's so free to know that. I can't do anything without God waking me up, right? The wake-up list, right? That's it. God wakes us up. And then we get the choice to spend our whole day celebrating Him. We were made by Him and for Him. Colossians chapter 3. If you be risen with Christ. How many of you are risen with Christ? Accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, then this is talking to you. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Right? Didn't Pastor Jerry preach a brief series called Seated in Heavenly Places? Right? It was a couple weeks. But that's what he was talking about. If you be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He knew how bad things would be. Don't focus on that. Focus on Him. That's where our peace comes from. Yeah, things are going on, but things are going on up there too. And I'm going to celebrate what He has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do. Set your affection on things above. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now look at this in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, right? Is Christ your life? Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. That's who we were. But we put that down and we follow Christ. Jump down to verse 23. What did D ask? He said, what things are we doing to glorify God? Well, it says here that whatsoever you do, whatever it is, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that of the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. If you serve Him, obey Him, and celebrate Him. He is our life. Do you understand that? How wonderful that is? Like, He's everything. You know, I had a guy call me today that I had not talked to, I didn't realize, in 12 years. I'd sold him a vehicle 12 years ago. And he said to me, I haven't talked to you in 12 years. My mother's looking for a car. But I called you, he said, because at your heart, I know you're not a car salesman. I said, no, at my heart, I'm a follower of Jesus. I do other things, but at my heart, everything that's in me is for Him. I celebrate Him with our lives, right? Like, we do things, but those things should not define us. He should. So when should we celebrate Him? Well, in Philippians 4:4, now this is one of those riddles that we'll have a hard time deciphering what he's trying to say. But as Rick throws it up there, it says, we should rejoice in the Lord always. And for all of you that weren't listening, again, I say rejoice. Celebrate God. He says celebrate Him always. And hang on. Celebrate Him. Rejoice in Him. Always. Everything that we have is because of Him. Everything that we do should be for Him. He saved our souls even though we deserved hell. Like, celebrate your salvation. Celebrate Him. When someone says, how are you? Say, you know what? I'm blessed, right? We say that. Why? Because of my salvation. Is everything going exactly the way I would have liked it to go? Nope. But you know what? The most important thing is, and it's my relationship with God. That's a choice. We can't control all the other things that go on, but we can control if we celebrate and honor God in all that we do. John saw it in Revelation 4, and this is where I'll close. Revelation 4, verse 8. He was before the throne, and he says, the four beasts, each of them had six wings. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne. They worship Him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You have created all things for Your pleasure. They are and were created. You have been created to celebrate Almighty God. He is forever, He is eternal, and He is worthy of all our praise. So we cannot stand idly by as the world celebrates sin and celebrates Satan and not stand up and celebrate our Savior. Celebrate Him, Heavenly Father. We celebrate You. We thank You. We know that it's solely about You. There isn't anything else. You're everything. We were created by You and we were created for You. God, I thank You that You have called us, that You have given Your Son, that Jesus would come, that He would die and take our place and take our sin, that we could be clothed in His righteousness. God, I celebrate that every day of my life. And God, I just ask that You would give this church, that You would give everyone that hears this word, opportunities to celebrate You, that we would say it's all about You, it's all about Jesus, it's all about our Heavenly Father, and take no glory, no praise, because it's all Yours. God, let us stand in a very difficult time, but stand with confidence and with boldness to proclaim that You are the King of Kings and that we will celebrate You as long as we have breath. God, I thank You for this word today. You've called us. You've challenged us. Are we celebrating You with everything that's in us? God, if we're not, show us those places that we can change and that we can say, I will praise Him. Lord, we thank You for Your word. It's always true and it's always powerful. We thank You for Your love and Your hope in Jesus.
We thank You for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.